Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Psychic Medium Sherry, Joe Pinohu, and Joel Walling. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, but also step outside the box a bit and discuss current events. Great conversation among friends.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I, as always, am Jason Ophir, joined with Psychic Medium Sherry tonight for some good conversations. We're going to probably just be all over the board tonight. We don't really plan, but I think we operate best when we just shoot off the cuff. Hey, Sherry, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Just having a nice lazy day. I worked yesterday, and I got today and tomorrow off. And, you know, I was thinking about, they shut down Oregon because of this whole COVID thing, and there's a casino up in Washington that's open, and I'm just doing my best to not go there, only because, it's... The last time I was at this casino, they weren't wiping down the machines. It was like people had their masks down by their necks, and I just like, it's probably not worth the risk. I'll just refrain from hitting the slots for the week. But that's what's been on my mind.
Wow. I just try to stay home. I enjoy being home, and you know, my business is very consistent. I'm feeling, you know, balanced and, you know, doing the Chinese medicine and psychic or medium and or mediumship. So it's nice to be able to do all that stuff on video and don't even have to go anywhere.
Yeah. How do I live that life? I have to go to a hospital 4 days a week.
Oh, really? Wow. Hey, Jason, how are you doing? I know you weren't feeling too, chipper last Sunday. How are you doing?
Well, a couple of days ago I had some abdominal pain that kept me up till 1 a.m., and I had to leave to go to work at 5 a.m., which kind of sucked. It's better. I don't know what's going on. For those that didn't listen last week, I had some just outrageous liver numbers, you know, blood labs, like, ridiculous. They told me one of the numbers, and mind you, I work in a medical laboratory, so when he told me the number, well, they were all elevated, but the one that was really concerned me was the ALT, which is a liver enzyme, and the test came back at like over 1600. Now, this is a value that should be probably under 50. My liver not happy at all, apparently. So I redid the labs the beginning of this week, or was it last week, and they came down, that ALT number came down from like 1660 to 129, so it's still elevated. Not sure what's going on. Hopefully it's not cancer or a blocked artery in the liver, but I'm still kicking, you know, still here doing the Paranormal Horizons.
That's great. I'm glad you're getting well and you're eating better, too, a little bit. You're eating more consistently and eating well.
Yeah, I got my appetite back. I've kind of in this thing right now where I like to make poke bowls with rice and vegetables and fish. And, you know, of course, I make it a little unhealthy with some spicy mayo and probably get too much sodium from the fish sauce. But I actually like fish sauce, so trying to eat a little bit better. No, not doing the frozen pizza thing anymore, or the hamburgers. But, you know, it's baby steps. I can't just go from eating junk food all the time to celery, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Wow. I'm so glad things are getting better.
Well, it's one of those things we're just going to have to keep an eye on, do periodic labs to make sure it's not, you know, getting worse. I don't know what the abdominal pain's about, but who knows? I mean, this is what happens when you get older, at least for some people. I'm not 20 anymore, you know. I'm getting up towards 50.
Wow, I didn't realize you're getting that older. Wow.
Well, I'll be 48 shortly, so.
Well, I don't think you're as your age. I think you're more of your energy. Age has nothing to do with it. It's how you feel. You know, if you can be 40 years old and act like you're 20. So, you know, it just depends on your energy, I think.
I know a 90-year-old that could out-exercise me any day of the week, so. Some people just have those genetics and healthy lifestyles that allows them to do that. And then at the same time, I've seen people, you know, younger than me that can't walk up a flight of stairs without having to stop and sit down. So it's just, there's a really broad spectrum of health in this world.
Is it? Yes, absolutely. Oh my gosh, it is. Definitely. Wow. So, yeah, so things are really, you know, what do you think about, for those who don't know where we live in Oregon, and Governor Kate Brown, we were up for a two-week evaluation, and apparently with the skyrocketing amounts of COVID viruses that are spreading and killing people and infecting people, that she put everybody in different categories. I think there are like four different, maybe five. I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. But there were in different categories depending on the county of how many cases and how many deaths there are. And in the county that Jason and I are in, I think we are in the extreme risk. High risk, not extreme risk. Extreme risk, if I could remember correctly, the extreme risk is where they shut everything down. There's not even restaurants open. Everything's just shut down. But I think we're in the high risk.
We're in the extreme risk. I am. You might not be. But in Multnomah County, the most populous county in the state, we are extreme risk. You can't do anything. No fun. But, Sherry?
What?
Yeah, most of the counties are. There's a couple on the coast that aren't extreme risk, and then southern and eastern Oregon aren't at extreme risk, so they're kind of lucky. But I did notice just now we do have a caller, so if you're good with bringing him on, we'll see if maybe he's got a story for us or wants to talk about COVID. How's that sound?
Yes, pretty much, yes.
Caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. Who's this?
Hello. My name is Peter.
Hey, Peter. How you doing tonight?
Hi, Peter. Welcome to Paranormal Horizons.
Well, thank you. I'm a first-time caller, first-time listener. I'm in New Hampshire. The way I found you was there's some things that's been happening, and I finally mentioned it to somebody. Trying to look up on the internet and whatnot too, and haven't really got a lot of information. But someone else that I know that actually listens to your show, so that I could try to contact you and explain to you the situation that I'm in.
Oh, we're very eager. Is it paranormal? What's going on?
Yeah, it's and I'm not the type of person that is superstitious, or maybe I should be. I've never been really, you know, ghosts or goblins or ghouls or anything like that. But it's kind of embarrassing to talk about. It's weird, but it's definitely seems like it's something that's taken fruition and it's real. Because I don't know what to do about it. It's got me very, somewhat upset. And for a grown adult, it's humbling to say that it's scary at the same time. Do you understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I mean, I've encountered scary things at times, and I think oftentimes when you talk about things like that, and you're obviously sharing it with it publicly, maybe between Sherry and I, we could offer some insight, or at the very least, just be humble listeners. What do you think, Sherry?
Absolutely. We're here to help, no matter what.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about what, you know, I've watched movies before, like The Exorcist and things like that, and always laughed at it and thought it was just, you know, it's just Hollywood and stupid stuff and things. But I like to, like, on my spare time, and sometimes when I'm just one to relax, I will play virtual reality games. Are you familiar with VR or Oculus? That some people call Oculus. Some people call it Rifting. Some people call it, you know, like Valve, Steam, something like that. You guys might be familiar with it. You might not be. If you are, that's great. If not, I can explain it to you.
Actually, it's funny you mention that. I do have the Oculus Rift, and I do play it quite often, actually. In fact, I spent several hours today playing, so I know. Sherry, are you familiar with the virtual reality technology?
I know a little bit, but I'm not familiar. I mean, I know a little bit, but I'm not really versed in, or I don't know much about it. I've seen it, you know, like when you were advertising on Paranormal Horizons, but that's pretty much about it, Jason.
Well, yeah, for the listeners out there, Oculus is a company that was purchased by Facebook. They were really kind of the initial pioneers of a virtual reality headset, and it's connected to your computer. They have since come up with virtual reality headsets that don't require a computer, but mine's one of the older ones. So you're basically playing games with this headset that really immerses you into the game. It's like being there. And they have sensors that track your hands and your head. So when you turn your head in real life, when whatever game you're playing, your vision changes and all that. It's amazing. I love it. It's fantastic.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
I do have to agree with you. Once you're in it, it's like you're virtually in another world, and you can communicate with your friends and family from thousands of miles apart. And I've had my headset. I own two headsets for several years now, but it was just until recently. I feel like something has happened through those headsets that has really got me startled.
I'm super eager to hear what's going on. What's going on?
Well, I purchased this game, and it has to do with, like, the underworld and, ghost hunting. It's a game. I don't know if I should say the name of the game or not. I don't know if there's some copyright or something. If I say the name of the game, I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But it has to do with going.
Does it start with a P?
Yes, it does.
I know what game you're talking about because I was actually playing it today, but go ahead.
Yeah, so I've been playing this game, and you're like a ghost investigating in houses and barns and whatnot with three other people. It's four people in a game. And, you know, there's a Ouija board, which I've picked up and played with. There's different things that you can use. It seems like that, you know, it's like these possession of ghosts, different types of ghosts, and they grab you and they pull you underground. And this has happened several times, but now it's like almost happening in where I live. So in my house where I live, things will be moving or turning on. I can feel the presence. It gets cold. There's like the noise that you hear that's in this game is there right on your neck. You can feel it. There's sounds all the time. There's bumps, like it wakes me up in my bed, and I don't know, you know, like it's gotten to the point now where I'm calling strangers on the phone and telling you that you know, what's happening? What do I need to do? Do I need to, you know, is this real? Can this happen through something like this? Can some type of afterlife thing come through a VR game? And if so, do I need to go get some smudge sticks or sage or, you know, what the heck, man? I just don't know what to do. I'm really startled.
So I do have, and I'll let Sherry chime in a second. I do have some thoughts on this. Fortunately, I'm very familiar with this game. I'm going to go ahead and assume that you were not having any types of activity prior to playing the game. Is that correct?
I'd never believed in ghosts or goblins or ghouls or any of that. Never. Just first time listener, first time caller. Never had to, you know, I'm not a religious person. Don't really believe in, you know, I don't really believe in all that nonsense. No, I believe more in aliens than I do ghost goblins or ghouls, you know, and it's just, no, yeah, it really got me shook up.
So, you know, on this show, we've talked to tons and tons of people. And, I mean, it comes down to what you believe is possible. And one of the things that I believe that we've talked about a lot on this show is it's kind of the intention. If you have the intention, some people think that using Ouija boards and stuff like that open gateways, and maybe they do. I'm kind of Mr. Skeptical on it. But if you go into something with the intention, and maybe by playing virtual reality is kind of creating this intention, because when you play that particular game, you are going in with the intention of communicating with the ghost. I played that game many, many hours, and maybe it's possible that because you're communicating with a virtual ghost, that it could open up a door to the other side and could result in activity. Like I said, I'm kind of skeptical on it. But from all the very knowledgeable people in the field that we've talked to in the past, they say, you know, that it's possible to open doorways. And maybe this is a new thing through virtual reality where that's a possibility. What do you think, Sherry?
Very much so. Sometimes, you know, you can order, you don't know what to do with your beliefs. I mean, I think that, you know, sometimes if your belief system is just like you don't believe it, it cannot happen, but, you know, it may, in a different sense, you might be opening a portal. So, you know, does it freak you out, or how are you feeling when these things happen to you? It obviously you were fine until you were starting to play the game, but are you kind of, you know, how are you feeling? Are you feeling like you can deal with it, or... How are you feeling about that?
Oh, it's not good. I mean, I don't think I would be calling you guys up and asking for advice if I was not okay with No, it's really weird. It's like, I don't know, it's almost like when you're absolutely normal and then you're not normal anymore. How do you explain that? You know, I mean, it's definitely not. It's not good.
You know, my question, honestly, is I don't deal with the dark side myself, and this personally, I don't deal with hauntings or attachments or dark entities or you know, demons or things like that. But what I can do is I can refer you to a colleague of mine. She's been on our radio show, and I can refer you to her. She is fantastic. She was on Ghost Adventures. As a matter of fact, earlier this year, she was with Zach Bacon in Astoria. And so if you really have a problem and you feel like, okay, you need some help, after the show, you can reach out to me, and I can give you her direct number that you can – that's all she deals with, the dark stuff. So we do have a solution.
Oh, that would be fantastic. So it was, you know what, that's fantastic. So it was a very good thing for me to call this number that, that's a start, you know. I mean, I really do appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She's wonderful, and I trust her. And if I have any, you know, like with all the readings I do, once in a while I'm kind of a little bit sketchy, and I feel like, okay, you know, I need. It's like having a surgeon, you know, it's easier to have a surgeon, have somebody you trust that is another surgeon. Hey, can you look over me and see if there's anything wrong or anything than trying to do it and treat yourself. So she's my go-to, my personal go-to person. If there's anything not only with you but also in your house, she takes care of everything that's dark in your house, has anything to do with you and or your family. So, yes, definitely I would be happy to, more than happy to go and connect with you and give you to the right person, the right source.
Oh, I do appreciate that. Thank you.
If it was me, this is what I would do. And hopefully it doesn't become me, because I do actually rather enjoy that video game. It's fantastic. What I would do is, I would go throughout my home and I would just verbally say, you're not welcome here. You need to leave. I did not invite you here. And I would do that one time. And then, because I believe.
I hear it now. Can you hear that?
What's going on?
Can you hear
no,
that?
What's that?
I hear it now. I hear it right now. Do you hear it?
What are you
can
hearing?
You, can you hear that? It's
no.
Like that weird noise that the gurgling sound right like in your ear. It's so weird. I can hear it right now. I can feel it. It's so cold. Just like it's just so weird, dude. I'm just telling you, man. It's not right.
Did the temperature drop and everything?
Yeah, it's so weird. You know, if I had I wish I had an EMF reader or something. I really do.
You need to tell
if
there's an entity there. You need to. But it's not welcome, and it has to leave.
It's
and,
so weird.
And then
I can't take this. I can't. I gotta go. I'm sorry. I gotta go. This is so weird. It's so weird. I don't know what to do. I have to go. I'm sorry. I gotta go. I gotta get out of the house. I gotta go. I gotta run. All right. I gotta go.
Oh.
Sorry. I'm really sorry.
Okay. Well,
get
take care.
Hang in there. Wow. That's crazy.
Well, it's got me wondering now, because I was playing that game today.
Wow.
It never occurred.
I never thought that, you know, I mean, there's a possibility, but didn't think that he was going to be affected for something like that. My gosh, and this is really serious stuff. I mean, that's something you don't want to play with, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still going to play the game, you know what I mean? Like, it's great. It's a fantastic game. It's just fun. But it had occurred to me in the past, because I know what he's talking about. You can run into a Ouija board in the game. Not always, but it spawns occasionally. And I've used it. You hold it, and it lights up, and you literally verbally say, like, where are you? And it, like, spells it out. The planchette moves and everything. And,
wow.
I thought about it. I was thinking earlier, you know, when I first started playing it, you know, could that possibly be dangerous? I mean, it's just a game, but maybe there's some risk to it.
Yeah, I think it's all an intention, but you got to be careful, because you don't, and especially if you're getting from a Ouija board, that especially if you don't know where the history is. I mean, that's why, you know, I'm really adamant, and not, you know, I've been guilty of this myself. I used to go. And not, you know, that wasn't something. I would just go to secondhand stores. My husband likes to go to secondhand stores, so we'll go to secondhand stores. But, you know, the last, I would say, honestly, probably the last 6-7 years, I wouldn't even touch foot in there. You know, yeah, you can find some good deals, but that's a good place to go and find some cursed objects, let alone, you know, estate sales or antique stores and things like that.
Yeah, and apparently Ouija boards in the virtual world have some risks.
They
would have thunk it.
Yeah. So I'm really glad, Jason, that you're okay and everything. I mean, I don't want to see you get hurt or anything like that.
Oh, I'd be a ghost. Let me tell you, if I die, I'm going to be haunting somebody because it just sounds entertaining. I hate to say it.
Yeah. Well, haunt somebody that you don't like. That's giving you a bad time in this world.
It'll be somebody that's going to hear me.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
anyway, what have you been reading lately? I've been doing a lot of reading, and I have a big portfolio of books. So I've been sitting down and doing some reading. What about you, Jason?
Well, I don't read. I do know how to read, but I've just never been a book reader. I've been like a TV, YouTube video kind of guy, and I love YouTube because I get to watch all the crazy stuff, usually not paranormal. I don't watch a lot of paranormal, but sometimes I do, and I like cars and stuff, and I like watching car crashes, but as far as reading, no, not my forte.
Okay. Yeah, I was reading earlier today. Well, I was online, of course, but I actually was reading about the different foods that they're tricking people of eating, you know, things that they think you're, you know, like as an example, and I'm gonna go and give you an example, like what do you call imitation crab meat. That's an example. Imitation crab meat is made up of all kinds of bad stuff, you know, the leftover stuff that usually are not palatable. So they put it in this process and they make it, they call it imitation crab meat.
I actually like imitation crab meat.
Oh, well, if you ever watched and how it's processed and what's really made out of it, yeah, you might think about it twice. Or you ever heard of the food where they make it look like you're eating steak, but it's called it's all forms of leftover meat, and they put meat glue, some kind of powder that binds the meat, and they mold it, and it's just all leftover stuff that they would normally throw away, and they just put it in a powder, break it down, and mush it up and form it, and they make money off of eating it, so... Yeah, a lot of the restaurants are feeding that. You have to ask them, you know, is this made out of meat glue?
Yeah, binders and fillers. I mean, literally almost everything you eat to increase volume is filled with binders and fillers. Unfortunately, who knows what sort of impact that has on the body. There are other people, I read it a while ago, a news story. You know, when they're doing these genetically modified lab-grown meats, that somebody somewhere was doing it with human cells or something to make, like, human steaks. It's crazy.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, I don't remember the details of it, but, you know, you would think we wouldn't have to do this, but it all comes down to profit, you know. The grocery industry is, well, like every industry is into money, but if, you know, some examples are, you know, you get a big bag of chips, you open it and there's hardly any chips in there, you know, but it's injected with air to make it, you know, look like you're getting a lot of food. But yeah, it's really difficult to buy healthy food now, or at least afford it, because organic, truly organic. Just because something says it's organic doesn't mean it's really organic. Like, there's criteria in order to call something organic, and if I remember correctly, the criteria to be able to do that is not very difficult to achieve.
Yeah,
I'll have to look
that's
it again.
Wow. Yeah, so I don't know. A lot of the foods out there are not really, you have to really watch the labels. I don't know if we talked about that, Jason, but you really, really have to watch the labels and read and be educated of what, you know, what's out there. You really do.
Yeah, but everybody's like me. I don't read the food labels, or when I have a license agreement with a computer program or social media, I don't read all the fine print. Nobody does. Well, probably not very many people
wow.
do it.
I try to, but sometimes I do. Don't.
Want to read,
yeah,
you know,
the fine print that gets you in trouble.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I wanted to talk about briefly tonight was, you know how I love a good conspiracy theory, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm all about conspiracy. And a lot of people out there think that, you know, conspiracy theorists are just nuts. And, you know, that's probably true 80% of the time, where some of these conspiracies are completely outrageous and unbelievable. But every once in a while, a conspiracy turns out to be true. And there are several instances of this. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the conspiracy theories that went on during our past as a country that actually were true. Would you like to hear a few,
yes,
Sherry?
That'd be perfect, yes.
So here was one of the conspiracy theories. The government was stealing dead bodies to do radioactive testing. People labeled that as a conspiracy theory. Well, it was actually, the truth to it was, the government, our government, was stealing parts of dead bodies because they needed young tissue. They recruited a worldwide network of agents to find recently deceased babies and children and take samples and even limbs. They even did it without notification or permission of more than 1,500 grieving families.
Wow.
That
was true. My God.
Here's another one for you to think of, our wonderful government. During Prohibition, the government poisoned alcohol to keep people from drinking. That's the conspiracy. The truth of that conspiracy, manufacturers of industrial alcohol began mixing their product with dangerous chemicals for years prior to Prohibition. Between 1926 and 1933, the federal government pushed manufacturers to use stronger poisons to discourage bootleggers from turning alcohol into moonshine. And they ended up not stopping the bootleggers or their customers. And do you know how many people died because of tainted booze?
No.
About 10,000.
Jeez.
Well, pretty.
What was the span? Did it show when the span was, the year? You know, from what year to what year?
Between 1926 and 1933.
Really? That's a lot of people. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
And have
were
you
they
ever
held accountable?
Oh, no one's ever held accountable. Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I mean, it's the 20s and 30s. I don't think there was much accountability back then.
Okay.
Have you ever heard
That's
of the Project
great.
MK Ultra?
Mm-mm. No.
So this was a real thing. It was a program where the CIA was funded a bunch of money to do research into mind control. You can Google it. It's been well documented. And the CIA was testing LSD and other hallucinogenic drugs on Americans for this top secret experiment. And their objective was behavior modification. That's the conspiracy. The truth is that MK Ultra was real. And the CIA started by using volunteers to take these drugs to do research into mind control. But the program head soon began dosing people without their knowledge. And because the result of MK Ultra, it ended up leaving many victims permanently mentally disabled.
Oh, wow. That's sad.
I volunteer for stuff, you know. I keep thinking about this COVID and, you know, signed up for the COVID research to test the vaccines, and I'm like, hell no. No way.
Well, how did it come up? Let me ask you, Jason, you're in the medical field. how did they come up with a 93% efficiency rate, you know, that it was a very effective? How did they come up that number? Just kind of like over 100 people, they had 90% of the people. Did they, you know, what made them come up with that number?
I don't know how that works. I don't know if you vaccinate 10,000 people and then what do? Do you expose them to the virus and see who gets it and who doesn't? I don't know how that works. All I know is I don't trust Big Pharma. You know.
Yeah, you gotta be careful. And then, is there any type of liability? You know, what happens if you have a bad reaction or something? You can't go back to the pharmaceutical company and say, hey, I'm going to sue you because I have this reaction.
I think normally you can, but I think because this is an emergency, that if laws already haven't been in place, they will, where you will not have recourse to sue your employer if they require it, or the maker of the vaccine. And from what I hear about it, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I've said it many times before. In order to work in a hospital, I have to get HAP, all this and all that. So I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I think vaccines do a fantastic job, certainly with things like smallpox. But as far as the flu vaccine and this, I'm not going to take it. You know, I'll wear a mask. If I have to get an N95 and wear it 24/7, I will, you know. Because there are no studies, long-term studies, on what the effect will be. And I sure ain't going to trust the government or the pharmaceutical companies on what they say it's safe. All I've heard so far is when you get the second shot, you get really sick. Well, maybe not really sick, or you have the potential to get sick. And I read some stories of some people that got sick. Granted, it didn't last more than a couple of days, but you know, I don't want to take any chances. I mean, anytime you do something like that, there's always risk. Granted, the risk could be super, super tiny, you know, but knowing my luck, I'll be the 0.001 person that has a stroke because of a vaccine. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. What about that doctor in Oregon that they had? You read that, or did you hear about that? They suspended his license because him and his staff doesn't feel go in and wear any type of PPE in his practice.
Yeah, that's stupid. I absolutely am a huge supporter of PPE. You should absolutely be wearing masks. I try to wear two. I wear a surgical mask and then I cover it with a cloth mask. You know, I'm handling these COVID specimens, so I'm at a little bit more risk than most people. Like, when you get swabbed in the hospital, I'm the person that has to deal with it. So I have to be really careful on what's going on. But there are some other stories out there, too. I've heard contradictory information on this one. I'm going to mention is a very young doctor in the Philippines. I believe he was in his late 20s, died after getting the COVID vaccine. And I've heard strange or conflicting information that he wasn't actually given the vaccine, that he was given the placebo one. And then I read other stories where he was given the vaccine. So who really knows? It's pretty rare for somebody in your 20s just to drop dead. It may have had nothing to do with the vaccine, or it may have. Who knows? But I suspect with this vaccine rolling out, millions of people are going to take it, and I'm expecting that there will be some people that get very, very sick. And
there's a lot of people that are going to, you know. They're going to. They're scared. They don't want to be the next, you know, number.
Well, we live in a fear-based society, man. Everything is driven by fear. You know, when we were dealing heavily with the terrorism situation, they came up with a level chart of, you know, how alert we need to be. I don't remember exactly what it was called or what the colors were, But, you know, for example, red would be like super high alert, and maybe orange, yellow. But there was never like a green on the chart where we don't have to really worry. It would like stopped at yellow to always keep us on high alert. And that's just an example of society in the United States wanting us to be afraid of things. There's probably psychology.
It is. Yes, I was reading earlier, too, that, it's okay to protest, but you can't go out and have funerals or weddings, you know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and people need to be smart. People are stupid. I'm sorry, but...
It just doesn't make any sense. You say one thing, and you're not being consistent. That's the whole thing. It's not what you're, you know, making a suggestion for the health of everybody, but it's the consistency.
COVID is real. I know that. I personally know somebody that got it, and it is brutal. And the person that got it is in their early 20s, and she was probably pretty close to needing to be hospitalized. So, I mean, it is real. And we have to do what we can to prevent it. And that the biggest thing is wear a mask. I see people all the time, like I mentioned in the casino, with their masks down. I've been around people that have been coughing with their masks pulled down, you know, exposing their nose. And
So, Jason, let me ask you, what do you think of those masks that have those plastic shields in front of you? What do you think of those?
Like the thing you put over your head that's got the plastic splash guard?
Yeah, it's got the headband and everything. What do you think of those?
I don't think it really does much, honestly.
Oh, really? Okay. I was just wondering if that, you know, what you thought of that, something like that. Okay.
I mean,
even
really,
if you wore a mask underneath, but that's not the point.
Well, I would pick a mask over that, or maybe a combination. I mean, those sort of things are really for hospital workers when you have close contact with a potentially infectious patient that they don't like sneeze or cough directly on you.
That helps, but it's not. You know, it's like. You should have some other, like a regular something to cover your nose and mouth, too, on top of it, especially if you're around the hospitals and, you know, so highly infectious. So
yeah,
it's not staph anymore, huh? Staph is not one of the highest risk things in getting a staph infection.
Oh, I don't know. Was that a high risk of thing, staph infections?
Yeah, staph infections. That's a big thing. Is that when you go in, you got to make sure. I know before they turned it into OHSU, Tualatin Hospital at one time was having a higher risk of staph infections of people going in and having problems.
Yeah, mostly what they worry about, like surgery patients, is MRSA, resistant Staphylococcus aureus. Please excuse my terrible pronunciation of that. So MRSA, you know, the flesh-eating bacteria and stuff like that. I do get tests for just straight-up staph, but not very often. It's usually MRSA. So basically how it works is if you're going to have surgery, they want to know if you have MRSA on your skin so you don't get a MRSA infection, which can be really, really bad. So they swab your skin probably around the surgical site, and then they test it for MRSA before you actually have the surgery.
Smart.
Let me tell you, I see a lot of sick people. Septicemia is out there, and that's will kill you. It's basically a blood infection, and it wreaks havoc on your organs, and it's really nasty. It's probably one of the leading causes of death. Somewhere on the list.
Oh,
somewhere.
Wow.
It's very serious.
Yeah, you gotta be very careful. Wow.
This world's trying to kill us, Mary. Everything is trying to kill us. It's not our own government, it's the environment.
Yeah. What can you do? You know, just try and be as healthy as possible, right?
Yeah, you can live in a cave, but you might get a staph infection.
From the soil? No. Or something in the soil where animals had had defecated or something.
It's a crazy world we live in. I mean, all we can do is what we can do, and we should try and be kind to as many people as possible. I think with all the negativity out there, we've mentioned it 1,000 times before, is, you know, let's help people out. Not everybody is in a great situation, particularly now people that have lost their jobs. And now the problem is there was a moratorium, if I said that correctly, on people paying their rent and stuff like that. So that's going to be lifted. So now all these people that have trouble paying their bills, been living on unemployment, or maybe didn't even qualify for unemployment, they're going to be hit with massive back rent. And so we should do what we can to help people.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, in Portland, I don't know about if you noticed, I didn't think we said something. Maybe I have not. I don't know what. I noticed that when I went into Portland a couple of weeks ago, there's a lot of homeless camps, even in the suburbs. I mean, we're looking at Beaverton or, you know, Hillsborough or Tigard. There's more areas where people are just homeless and not being able, so they're, you know, they got to go and get a tent somewhere. They're trying to, you know, find a place to live. So they have like a mini, what do you call that, tent city, where they're trying to be away from the elements.
Yeah, it's pretty rampant here. You know, Portland, Oregon is a crazy city. People here are crazy. I mean, I think they're still rioting. They've been rioting for months. It's just a really weird place to live. I actually have been looking at houses in different states, like Montana, where housing is so much cheaper. It's just getting ridiculously expensive to live in Portland or the outlying areas of Portland. I mean, literally, because I've looked at a lot of houses here, and $300,000 won't even get you an actual single-family house. Like, you can get a townhouse, or you can get a trailer or something like that. But for $300,000, forget it. You ain't going to get a house. And if you do find one for $300,000, it's going to be a fixer-upper. And to me, that's ridiculous.
No. Jason, if you go into Forest Grove, the houses are starting, the three-bedroom houses, brand-new houses are starting at $300,000.
Really?
No kidding.
Not on the east side.
Big sign. They're all new, brand new homes. Some two level, some one level. You need to check it out. No, it's right over by Tomacall Middle School. No kidding.
Huh.
Nice area.
Well,
you need to check it out.
So it sounds like the farther you get out, that's pretty far from Portland. I'm not far from Portland. I'm probably 4 miles, 5 miles from Portland. On the east side, it's ridiculous. And so I was looking at real estate in Montana, and I'm like, you know, for $300,000, I literally could get a nice house with a ranch with acreage. You know, granted, it's probably in the middle of nowhere. So if I ever come into money, I'm moving to Montana. I'm going to get a ranch out in the middle of nowhere and get away from all this nonsense.
I can't blame you. I can't blame you at all. I really can't. Well, where you're living and everything, I think it's going to take, my guess is where you're commuting over there at your hospital, I'm guessing about 45 minutes, no more than an hour commute. But, you know, what's the trade-off? You want to go live, you know, in a brand-new house with a nice community, an upgraded community, or you want to, you know, there's choices. There is, absolutely. But when you said $300,000, I said, nope, there's a big sign. It says $300,000 base price. Of your starter homes.
Forest Grove is a little too far for me. That's out there.
I know, but you know, just you asked.
Oh my gosh! For an investment, that's probably a good deal, because I guarantee you, in 10 years, they ain't going to be $300,000.
Oh, no, no. And, you know, the prices are so, they're driven up because a lot of the people are moving up, you know. People from, you know, all over, you know, whether it's California or Chicago or, you know, different areas, they're all moving here. It's still cheap compared to a lot of places. But, yeah, the, you know, the prices are, you know, they're getting slowly but surely, they're climbing up there, that's for sure.
So what's happening now is the housing market has become so expensive. And it's expensive because there's incredible demand for homes. So when you have incredible demand, the prices skyrocket. And currently, the current housing market is seeing its greatest increase either ever or in a very, very long time because the demand is so high, but the houses aren't there. So that what's happening is that people are buying houses over list, and you get into bidding wars when you find a property. I ran into that a couple times when I was looking for a home. I found a nice home in Oregon City. It was $300,000, something like that. Old home built in the 20s, but it was updated, you know, a small house. And it just you get bidded out because people will pay $50,000 more just to get into it. And as these get so expensive and such high demand, it just becomes a crazy bidding situation. And it's not just in Portland. It's literally like everywhere. And I was reading some articles on it and looking at the statistics. And unfortunately, we're in a housing crisis right now. They're too expensive and there are not enough of them.
Wow, not enough for people. Oh, my gosh. And then it's driving, unfortunately, it's driving the middleman out. You're either going to be on the upper end of the scale or at the lower end of the scale, correct?
Yeah, people just can't afford them. I mean, if you're looking in, you know, $300,000 is a huge amount of money. And there's so many blue-collar workers or, you know, grocery stores, retail, they can't even afford that. And so
no.
You just have, you know, and even apartments are ridiculously expensive. You know, you're looking at $1,100, $1,200 and up for a one bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
So it's crazy. So that's, you know, eventually there won't be a cheap place to live in this country, but for now, Montana looks pretty good.
Wyoming?
That's expensive.
Oh, is it? Wyoming? Even the outskirts of Wyoming? Huh?
Probably the outskirts. Maybe I was looking not really super outskirts. But, you know, I was looking at Boise and Idaho, and it's expensive. And, you know, of course, Washington's expensive. Texas is cheap, but I'm not a huge fan of Texas. They have fantastic thunderstorms, which I'd love to see because they're really impressive. But Montana, although if I move to Montana, I'm near the big caldera there that'll probably blow up one day. So maybe Montana's not that great. But
what is the car? What is that, Jason?
The supervolcano. So take Mount St. Helens and times it by 1,000.
Really?
Yep. Yellowstone Park. Is a bunch of
oh
different kelp.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's crazy.
And by the way, it's overdue for an eruption. So when that thing erupts, pretty much it'll change life for the entire planet. You can forget the United States. It'll be pretty much destroyed due to the simple fact that all the grain belts, you know, all the crops will be covered in meters of ash, so we'll run out of food, and the sun will be blocked out. We'll probably get into an ice age because of it, and really, really bad stuff. But, yeah, Yellowstone's overdue for an eruption. So there's something to look forward to.
Wow. That's too bad. Yeah, we're in this, what, San Andreas fault line right now?
No, I don't think San Andreas comes up this high. You have the there's a major, it's the Juan de Fuca plate and anyway, there's two huge plates that cause what's called a megathrust earthquake. How do I know all this stuff? Am I like the world's smartest person?
I don't know. You know more than I do.
Well, there's something called a megathrust earthquake, and that's when two of these plates, I think there's a Juan de Fuca plate, there's like a Pacific plate. Anyways, those are when the two plates slide and collide, and then they kind of go under and over each other. That creates a megathrust earthquake. Those are mega earthquakes, you know, 10 or greater, 9 or greater, huge earthquakes. And actually, the Pacific Northwest is overdue for one. And it's because of those huge, the Pacific plate and another plate are overdue for a massive thing, which kind of sucks because I work in an old hospital in the basement. So I'm just going to be dead. If that ever happens while I'm at work, I'm done.
Wow. Mm. Yeah, you just, so, that's crazy. You just got to protect yourself. That's what it can do.
So we live in the ring of
fire.
We live in an active volcanic geologic area. The west coast of the United States is just not a great place to be in terms of massive earthquakes and volcanoes and all that. I mean, Portland's surrounded by volcanoes. All these mountains are volcanoes. They just haven't erupted in a while.
Jeez. Yeah, I remember when Mount St. Helens went off. Yeah, it was crazy. That was a big event. Where were you? Were you up here when Mount St. Helens came out? Blew up?
No, I was pretty young. I was in California. When they had that big earthquake in San Francisco, was it in the 90s? You know, the Loma Linda earthquake, or I don't know if that's what it was called. Something like that. You know that big one in the 90s?
Yep, I remember that.
So the World Series was going on, and I was actually supposed to be at that game when the earthquake hit, but I traded tickets with a friend of mine to go to a different game. So when that happened, I was actually up far north in California. I was like, I couldn't imagine being in Candlestick Park when that happened.
Wow. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Totally. Yeah, back in the Bay Area. Yeah. Back in the 90s.
Yep. Well, it looks like we're about out of time. So, do you have anything else, Sherry?
I think so. We're getting close to it. Only a few more minutes. But, yes, what do I got to say? That's not nothing much. I think that there's nothing really I can say right now. Not this coming weekend, but the following weekend on Psychic Medium Sherry on her Facebook page. I'm going to have an emerging artist. He's from Hawaii. He's 16 years old. E.M. Tongi. He is. I'm going to have him as a guest. We're going to talk about his beginning of his career and becoming a Hawaiian Polynesian contemporary artist. And the guy has talent. So I'm going to bring him on for about 45 minutes and talk to him about what he's doing, have him play a few songs. And my show is pretty much about, you know, anything that is going to be of interest to everybody. You know, it could be about animals. I'll have Gerald Cortica come through, and he's going to talk about pets. He's a veterinarian. I'll have Brian Sesbo. He's a professional photographer. So I'm going to talk about all kinds of different things, but I've got to have my ducks in order and get these guys all lined up and everything. In the meantime, if you want to hit me up, Psychic Medium Sherry, if you want any Chinese medicine readings or psychic and or mediumship readings, hit me up at Facebook at Psychic Medium Sherry, it's C-H-E-R-I, or you can go on my website at www.psychicmediumsherry, again, C-H-E-R-I, .weebly.com. That's pretty much my plug-in.
And I want to say, hey, give us a like on Facebook, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook. Our Facebook page used to be slamming. We used to reach up to 6 million people a week. And last year or year and a half, it's barely breaking 200,000, so I don't know what's going on with that. But, yeah, Paranormal Horizons on Facebook, give us a like. And with that, I'll bid you adieu. I got to eat dinner, and I'm starving, which I'm thankful to have an appetite in lieu of everything that's been going on. So we'll see everybody next Sunday, 7 p.m. West
Sunday.
Coast time.
Yay! Take care, everybody. Be safe, and love you guys. Thank you for following us.
Hope everybody has a fantastic week. Good night, everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye.